You'll open your Bibles once again to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to depart from our series that we began through 2 Timothy. And in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, there's a story of a mother's love for her daughter. And in recognition of Mother's Day, that is what I want to look at. That's the passage I want to look at this morning. The same story is repeated in the Gospel of Mark, and in each case, it follows right on the heels of a lesson that Jesus teaches about the heart of man. Speaking in particular about the religious leaders of that day, Jesus said, "Their hearts are far from me." He said that they worship in vain, and in their pride they're like the blind leading the blind. They place their faith in external obedience to tradition and completely miss their own internal wickedness. Jesus says their wicked hearts have defiled their speech. In other words, they speak of this great faith that they have, but when the reality of it, they have absolutely no idea what faith really is. And it's in contrast to these men who look so highly upon themselves that Jesus encounters a lowly mom. A lowly mom who displays a true heart of faith. And again, in contrast to these high-minded Jewish Pharisees who are completely blind to faith, she is a lowly Gentile mother with a beholden faith. And there are some lessons about faith that we can learn from this mom in this passage. Now, I've learned some lessons from my mom. And I'm going to tell on you here, okay, Mom? Is that okay? Here are some things that I've learned from my mom. My mom taught me the value of life. And I learned that cockroaches deserve to die, but ladybugs don't. All right. I learned about cause and effect. And I learned that when bad words came out of my mouth, it would hurt my rear end. I learned about the circle of life. She said, now she had never actually said this, but it was implied. I brought you into this world, I can take you out. She taught me about religion. You better pray this comes out of the carpet. And she taught me about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. It's foresight right there, all right? Here are some real lessons that I learned from my mom, okay? I learned that forgiveness is always available and rewarded with loving compassion. From both my mother and father, I learned that regardless of how bad things may seem, don't give up. My mother was a model of humility through all right. She taught me religion. You'd better pray this comes out of the carpet. All right, we're better now. All right. Through her service, I saw humility in her. It didn't matter how many times I put dirty clothes in the laundry hamper, they magically ended up back in the dresser. No matter how many dirty dishes I put in the sink, they ended up back in the cupboard. Dust mysteriously never accumulated on the furniture in my room. It didn't matter how dirty or how many times we used the bathroom, it magically stayed clean. And one thing in my life that I never doubted was how much my mother loved me and cared for my well-being. She taught me foresight. All right, we're through it. But anyway, these are some things that I learned from my mom. And in our passage this morning, through a mother's love for her daughter, we're going to learn three qualities that proceeded from the heart of this mother that teach us about faith. All right, true faith, true heart of faith. It is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28, we find a mother of faith. A mother of faith. It's after Jesus' encounter with these religious leaders from Jerusalem. He decided to leave that region entirely and go into a Gentile area. And his purpose was for him and his disciples to get away from the crowds and have some quiet time. In fact, in Mark's account, he tells us that they actually found a house and went into this house for some peace and quiet. But that's where this mother finds Jesus. We're going to find some qualities about her that led her to Jesus. And even though he's trying to get away from the crowds, she comes, she finds him anyway. And we begin reading about that in verse 21 of Matthew 15. And let me just read to you verses 21 and 22. It says there, "Then Jesus went out from there." That is where he was with the Jewish people. "He went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" So here Jesus is with his disciples in a house seeking some peace and quiet. And along comes this woman crying out for him to help her daughter. And we immediately begin to learn some qualities about faith through this mom. The first of which is this: she has a heart of repentance. She has a heart of repentance. The first quality here: faith requires repentance. And before we look at that, here are some things that we can assume about this mother. Again, she's going to teach us some incredible things here this morning. But here's some things that we can assume. Number one is we can assume she's from a pagan background. We can assume that she's from a pagan background. She is a Gentile from the area of Canaan. And throughout Scripture, this area is notorious. Sorry about that. Okay, anyway, she comes from an extreme pagan background. The Canaanite people were notorious for their pagan worship. And ironically, the main goddess that they worshipped was Ashtar. She was the goddess of motherhood, really a fertility goddess, okay? Except the worship of Ashtar was of the most sexually immoral and lustful kind. It was detestable to God, okay? Therefore, this woman came from a people group that God had commanded Israel to completely wipe out. They were so caught up in their pagan worship that he said, "I want you to get rid of them." Well, obviously, they didn't, okay? Because here she is now. So we can assume she came from a pagan background. Secondly, this pagan background is probably the reason for her daughter's demon possession. Because she raised her daughter in this lifestyle, it opened the door wide for Satan to have his way with her. Thirdly, here's a third thing we can assume: she knows who Jesus is. Somehow, she knows who Jesus is. Even as she had practiced this paganism of her culture, something in her conscience told her that it was wrong, and somehow she heard about this Jewish Messiah and that many believed it was Jesus of Nazareth. And now here he is right in her home country. And she approaches him with a heart of repentance. Now, repentance means to change our mind. It means to change our mind. For the sinner, repentance comes as we recognize our sin and rely on the Savior to fix it. And while repentance is often accompanied by remorse and an asking of forgiveness, which we will see here in our passage, the word typically means, it means to change our mind, to change our mind. And that's exactly what we find in this mother here in our passage. Repentance comes from recognizing our sin. This mom in our passage recognized that as a result of her pagan practices, she and her daughter were where they were right now. The daughter was right at that moment under the severe and cruel influence of a demon. And it's very likely that this is a direct result of the practices of the mom. And here's why I say that. Notice as we read this that the mother does not ask mercy for her daughter. She asks mercy for herself. She asks mercy. She says, "Have mercy on me." In other words, I'm the guilty one here. I'm the one who sinned. I'm the one who deserves to be punished. But please, have mercy on me and heal my daughter. Repentance comes from recognizing our sin. Secondly, repentance comes upon relying on the Savior. This mother changed her mind, obviously, about paganism and pleaded with the Savior for help. Now, we have no way of knowing this for sure. Okay, the text doesn't directly tell us, but I would imagine that this woman had probably gone to numerous pagan leaders to help out with this demon possession before she came to Jesus. She probably went to leaders in this cultish practice to help, and they couldn't. They couldn't. In fact, Jesus, in an earlier chapter right here in Matthew 12:26, tells us why they couldn't. If Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. All right? So now she has placed her faith in the only one who she believed could help her. And she pleads for his mercy. She asks that he would withhold the judgment that she deserves. She pleads for his authority. Again, somehow she's learned that Jesus is the promised Messiah from the line of King David. She even calls him that here. The heir of God's throne. And then she also pleads for his power. And in calling Jesus Lord, she takes a complete role of submittal and recognizes that it will only be by the power of the true and living God that her daughter would be made clean. In contrast to the religious leaders with unrepentant hearts that Jesus had just left behind, she was a mother with a heart of repentance. And truly, it was her love for her daughter that compelled this change. Sometimes God uses our children to point out the sin in our life so that we will examine ourselves, change our mind, and come to Jesus for the mercy we so need. After all, Jesus would give his own life on the cross to take the penalty for our sin, so that all we would need to do is trust in him, and by faith, eternal life is ours as a gift. Come to Jesus for mercy. And I believe moms are especially sensitive to that. And that's why we have this grand example of a heart of repentance through this faithful mom. The second quality we find in this mother of faith is she has a heart of perseverance. She has a heart of perseverance. Faith requires a heart of perseverance. The story is told of a young mother years ago who was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny baby in her arms, when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. She never did reach her destination, and when the blizzard had subsided, her body was found by searchers beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all of her outer clothing and wrapped it around this baby and then mounted herself, her body, over the top of this little one. And when they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, the baby was still alive. The baby was still alive. She had died. She had given her life for this little one. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grown to manhood, became the Prime Minister of Great Britain. Through a mother's perseverance, Britain got one of its greatest statesmen. Okay, now, we never hear anything else about this woman and daughter in God's Word. We never learn anything more than what we have right here. But there is no doubt of her heart of perseverance here. No doubt that that her perseverance led to her daughter's wellness. Now, she demonstrates her heart of perseverance in two ways. First of all, through persistence. And it's kind of redundant, but these all are all somewhat distinct here. Upon her request for mercy from the only one who could give it, we read verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." So she requests this mercy from Jesus, and Jesus doesn't even answer her. He doesn't even answer her. So what does she do? Well, she does what my wife does when I don't answer her. She asks again and again. Now, granted, when I don't answer, it's probably because I wasn't listening. All right? But Jesus doesn't answer. And Jesus here really is putting her faith to a test. He wants to know if she truly believes that he's the only one who can help her. He wants to know if he is silent, how is she going to react? Is she really serious about this? And boy, is she serious. Even to the point that disciples of Jesus ask him, please, just give her what she wants and send her away so she'll quit asking and crying. Okay? And Jesus says, in verse 24, Jesus says something to his disciples, and I believe he says it with the express intent that she overhears it. And here's what he says in verse 24. He says, "But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus, in effect, is saying here, my ministry is to the children of Israel. It's to God's chosen people. It is not to Gentiles. It's not to Gentiles. And what's the reaction of the woman? Being a Gentile, does she turn away? Does she believe that the Lord of Lords will not help her? No. She's faithful. Listen to what she says in verse 25. She says, "Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Through a heart of perseverance, she is both persistent and faithful. Jesus was testing her faith. Did she really believe that God was merciful? Did she really believe Jesus was the Messiah? Did she really believe that he was the only one who could help? Well, she came to him on his terms. She fell at his feet. She worshiped him and pleaded for his help. Yes, her perseverance showed her belief. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. It tells us this. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Now again, in contrast to the religious leaders who worshipped in vain with dirty hearts, this mother, through a heart of perseverance, demonstrated a true faith in God. Her faith was not in obedience, her obedience. It was not in keeping traditions. It was not in being born into the right people group. It was not even in being baptized into the right religion or into a religion. It was purely and simply a persevering faith in the Lord from a repentant and true heart. Sometimes God uses the love that we have for our children to teach us a lesson of perseverance and faith. And I believe that is why we have this great example of a heart of perseverance in this faithful mother. She has displayed a heart of repentance, a heart of perseverance. And the last quality this morning revealed by her as our Lord tests her, she has a heart of subservience. A heart of subservience. This is really a fancy word for humility. Fancy word for humility. Faith requires a heart of subservience. I read about a teacher who gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet. And they got to play with it and pick up metal things with it on the desk and everything. And she taught them how the magnet works. And the next day, in a written test, she included this question. She said about the magnet. She said, "My full name has six letters. The first one is an M, and I'm good at picking things up. What am I?" Well, when the test papers were picked up, over half of the class wrote in mother instead of magnet, okay? Moms, I think, by nature, are subservient in heart. I believe God created them that way. And that is a quality that we find in our passage concerning faith. Compelled by her love for her daughter, this mother comes to Jesus with a heart of repentance, a heart recognizing her own failures. The silence of Jesus reveals her perseverance of faith, and the statement of Jesus' priority in ministry leads her to worship him. But there's one more test to find out if she is truly has this faithful heart, and it's to see if she has a humble heart, a subservient heart. And through a statement that may seem almost harsh or demeaning to our ears, Jesus tested this mother's faith. Let's read verse 26. This is right after her request, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus likens the word of God to bread. In John chapter 6, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And here, Jesus is saying that his word, his ministry right now, is to the children of Israel. It's not to the Gentile world. And he uses an illustration of bread at a dinner table and says, this bread, my ministry, me, is for the children of Israel. It's not for the family dog. Now, it was not uncommon for the Jews to call Gentiles dogs back then. A derogatory statement. They were looked upon as stray street dogs who didn't belong to anyone. And that is how they would sometimes treat the Gentiles. But I don't believe that this is the image that Jesus was trying to put forth, or very well putting forth, I should say. The wording here speaks of a household hat. Jesus had just got done saying that his priority was ministering to the children of Israel. And now he says it's not good to take what was meant for them and give it to the household pet. And while this was not as demeaning as the common dog reference for Gentiles, this woman was still being likened to a non-priority at this time. A non-priority, the family dog. And just as a side note here, just maybe to get this a little clearer in our minds, if you and I are not Jewish, and I don't know what any of our backgrounds here are this morning, okay, but if you and I are not Jewish, this statement, really, concerning Jesus' earthly ministry is to us as well. God's chosen people are the Jews, and most of Jesus' earthly ministry was directed to those people. It was for them. It was meant for them. However, in understanding that, we can still take the teaching that was meant for them and learn lessons from it that for us, okay? We can benefit from it. And this mom understood that. She understood that. Listen to what she says in verse 27. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She was not appalled at Jesus' words. She did not feel demeaned by Jesus' words. She was simply humbled to be in the master's presence. And if any crumbs happened to fall from the master's table, she was completely satisfied to take them, to have them. A heart of subservience. First of all, a heart of subservience receives the truth. It receives the truth. And I got to tell you, sometimes the truth is painful. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes the truth is convicting. Sometimes the truth is not what we want to hear. But a humble heart will receive the truth and be transformed by it. It recognizes, subservient heart recognizes its unworthiness. This mother knows that she's a sinner. She knows that she's a Gentile. She knows that she's undeserving of anything from the Messiah. But she also knows that the rescue of her daughter was completely in the hands of Jesus. And that's why her faith is in him. A heart of subservience receives the truth. It recognizes its unworthiness. But here comes the best part. Here comes the best part right now. A heart of subservience is raised up in due time. It's raised up in due time. Listen to verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that hour." James 4:6 says, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble." 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." In contrast to the religious leaders of that day who pridefully claimed to have a greater understanding and greater faith in God than anyone else, Jesus said that this mom had great faith. This mother's faith was not great because she had great understanding about God or better understanding about God than anyone else. In that culture, on the contrary, it was great because even though she had everything against her, she continued to trust. Now listen to this. In that culture, her gender was against her. Women were considered second-class citizens back then. In that culture, her race was against her. Jews looked down on Gentiles. It even seemed as though the disciples were against her, wanting Jesus to send her away. And initially, because of Jesus' silence and his what could be taken as harsh words, she may even thought that Jesus was against her at some point. Okay? But she trusted him anyway. And here's something for us. Sometimes God is silent. Sometimes God is even harsh with us, and we may even think that he is against us. However, he may simply be testing our faith for humility so that he can raise us up in due time. That's the God we serve, and I believe that is why we have this glorious example of a heart of subservience in this faithful mother. Through Jesus' testing of this mother's faith, the heart qualities of repentance, perseverance, and subservience were revealed. But who are they revealed to? For what purpose were they really being revealed here? Certainly not for Jesus' benefit. He already knew her heart. He knew her heart before she ever showed up. I don't even believe it was really for the mother's benefit. Okay? She came to him with a repentant heart already, ready to worship him, taking the role of submittal. However, as the disciples watched this conversation, they may have wondered, why doesn't Jesus just take care of this woman? Why don't he just give her what she wants and send her away like he did with the Gentile centurion who wanted his son healed? Why don't he just take care of business and end it? Okay? Well, I believe Jesus did this as an example to his disciples. I believe he did this as an example to us, so that we could learn a lesson about a heart of faith through this mom. What an honor God has bestowed on this mom through this lesson taught and learned, to use the example of her qualities of true faith. Before we end this morning, I do want to point out one last item. And this has to do with the proper direction of repentance, perseverance, and subservience. Because where we direct these will make all the difference in the world. I want you to listen to a few select lyrics from a fairly recent song, because it very clearly demonstrates a very popular and a very wrong philosophy about faith. Here are the lyrics. Oh, you can be what you want to be, see what you want to see, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. You can go where you want to go, do what you want to do, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. Some folks try to tell you there are things you shouldn't do, but what seems right to them quite often might be wrong for you. Oh, you can be what you want to be, learn what you want to learn, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. Try what you need to try. No one should question why. Believe in yourself, believe in yourself. Now, there are things wrong with this song on several levels. All right? But let me ask you this concerning direction. Where would this mother from our passage be if she had that kind of faith? She'd be at home with her demon-possessed daughter. That's where she'd be. She'd be at home with her demon-possessed daughter. But because she directed her faith toward the only one worthy of repentance, perseverance, and subservience, her daughter was cleansed. all of the above must be directed toward Jesus Christ. These lyrics that I read to you, by the way, are from a Sesame Street song. And you could probably find lyrics just like them in any other kid's programming or Disney movie or adult programming for that matter. But it is a philosophy of doom. Be aware of it. Be aware of it. And know that if our faith is in ourselves, we will not only be sorely disappointed, but we will remain lost. If our faith is in another person, even a religious leader, we will be sorely disappointed. Now, I'll just tell you right now, if I have not disappointed you yet, count on it. It'll happen. It'll happen. Faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. And if our faith is in anything but the true and living God, we will be sorely disappointed. And know that don't count on my disappointing you because I want that to happen. Okay? It's just my nature. It's your nature. All right? And in our passage this morning, God has chosen to teach us a wonderful lesson about faith through a mom. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this brief account in your word to us. And thank you, Lord God, just for the grand lessons that we can learn from it. Thank you that you are a God worthy of placing our faith in. You have proved it. Lord, I only pray that we would. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.